Welcome to the official podcast of PHP Architect. Join us to listen to the latest news and tech talk from our conferences, the magazine, and wider PHP community.
The wider PHP community.
Are you calling us fat? What?
I know. Who paid that woman to talk like that about us? I'm going to guess you did. Hire.
It's the only way I can get women to talk to me.
Oh, my goodness. What's going on?
I don't know, man. We seem to be doing a podcast that nobody appreciates. We're getting shit for it in our Discord. I'm about to, like, shut the whole thing down. It's just
what do you
whole
mean?
Business.
What do you mean we're getting shit for it in Discord?
They're saying
who
we're
said
not
what?
Good. Well, they specifically say I'm not good at this.
Well, and they're not wrong.
Yeah, but only we can say it.
True.
You are listening to the PHP Podcast, the premier, longest running, that might be a lie, podcast for PHP. Actually, it might not be a lie. Probably was a lie when we had the other podcast going, but...
Are you combining the two? Are you considering PHP Ugly and this one to be one and the same?
Kind of. I don't see why not.
Yeah, why not?
I think we should help our numbers a little bit.
Yeah.
We are the official podcast of PHP Architect, which is a little company John and I like to manage. We have a whole team of people now that we can complain about, and we're really happy about that.
Any part, not the rest of it.
Yeah, and thanks to our partners,
CVEs. I'll put it on the screen for you.
Put it on the screen
CVES. CVES.com.
I guess I could have had that open, huh?
I just did, and then you closed it. What the heck are you doing?
I'm starting to see what people are talking about.
You switched scenes. Created by our friends over at Artisan Build,
which is a pretty awesome group of people, I might add.
Yes.
They're the ones we talked about, I think, last week on the show. They're the ones that are doing here. Let me come back over to your seat. Nope, still not there. Where are you sharing?
It's the little bottom third. That's all I'm sharing.
Oh, I got something better. Oh, look what I did. Oh, look.
What did you do?
Oh, yeah.
Well, there you go. I can turn that off.
So, like I said, last week, I keep meaning to reach out to Artisan Build. I was going to say RCVES, and I had to think about it. It's Artisan Build I need to reach out to, which RCVES is part of Artisan Build. Anyways, we talked about it last week. There's a PHP internals podcast that Artisan Build is behind, and I'm curious if that is a sanctioned podcast for PHP internals. Which, I mean, I'm perfectly fine if it is, but yeah. Wait, what is happening? Oh my God, John.
What are you doing?
I don't even know anymore. So for everybody who needs to know, nope, don't want to do that. I am on a completely new system, and it's not behaving very well with allow to share window. That's what I want.
Oh, because it's your first time sharing, so you got to go through all the security setups.
Yeah. So it's kind of being funky here. I don't know what's happening.
You haven't frozen yet. There's that.
I mean, yeah. I'm sure I want to share. Okay. Allow share window again. Like, you have to keep clicking stuff. Like, what? It's still not sharing. That's going to be a problem.
Yep.
Oh, God. So anyways, if you've been listening to the podcast or you've been joining any of our internal meetings, you know that I've been challenged with not losing connection. And so this week or over the weekend, yeah, it's not going to share. That's a big problem because that was going to be a big part of the show today. And I'm really pissed off at this point. So you're going to have to share everything. So, yeah.
Good luck with that.
My connection kept dropping every time I tried to stream. So I did a fresh install on an old MacBook Pro I had, not really that old, but, you know, older. And I'm running with it. I was telling John before the show, I didn't install any third-party programs, with a few exceptions. 1Password was one. Ghosty was another one. Is that you or me?
That's me.
Jesus Christ, you're giving away the...
I know.
Things are me.
I screwed up. Chill. Yeah. It happens.
Oh, wait. Am I sharing? Is this me? What's this? Is that you or me?
That's me.
That's still you?
Yes.
Well, shit. Stop doing that. I installed no third-party anything on this laptop, with the exception of 1Password and Ghosty. There's only two, and Tailscale. Which, God, Tailscale, come on. Toss us a freaking coin or two. We talk about you guys every week. Those are only three apps I installed in this software. So, like, my Discord, I'm going in through the browser. Slack, I'm going in through the browser. In that browser is Safari, which is a browser I don't use on the regular. So, yeah, I'm having to, like, click around a lot more, and it's frustrating. Like, right now, I just don't understand why I can't share a screen here. That's really pissing me off at this stage. Max number of shared screens have been reached.
And what camera are you using? Is it the one on? Because it keeps going blurry.
That's the one I always use.
Oh, so, is it the EyeSight or
the eye one control built in? Or whatever? Yeah. The one that drops down.
Gotcha.
You see, I got my Holly, got my big Holly back there. Big girl's back there now. I had to shuffle all my let me raise this up a little bit. I had to shuffle all my big elephants. So Tony's now in the middle. You can't see, but PHP Women is to this side, and then Elvis Elephant got demoted to the other cabinet. So sorry, Elvis Elephant. Oh, wait, what's happening? I need to come down. Or I could have stood up. But why bother, right?
That's too much work.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see if this doesn't drop at all. I don't know, man. I'm owing you that. So where were we? PHP Podcast, Fishcat Podcast, PHP Architect. I think we said everything, right? Oh, join us in our Discord. Join us live. If you're not listening to us live, you can watch us live on YouTube at youtube.com/phparch. Go there, subscribe, give a thumbs up every now and then, but join us for our live stream, because you can participate in the live stream in our Discord at discord.phparch.com.
You and, too can tell Eric how bad he is at this job.
Very much so. Yeah, very much so. So that's what you see happening on the screen over here. You can be part of the show. Besides that, I think we can wrap up. I don't know if we have anything else to talk about. We released a magazine.
There you go.
That was something. I have it up here on my screen. I would love to share it with you guys. Stop sharing. I want to see if I can share. Come on.
All right. Damn it. I don't know how to stop sharing. Oh, yeah, stop. Let me click that button.
Let me see what happens. Nope. Stuff says maximum stop an existing share. I'm not sharing. What are you saying? There's nobody sharing. Restream? I don't know, man. All right. Anyway, we released this month's magazine, which is about...
What did you do?
Where'd you go?
Oh, I'm down. I'm down here.
Yeah, that's where you belong. That's wrong. That's not what I want.
I know, but you wanted to be over here.
Yeah.
Whoops. It's released.
Did you not publish? God damn it. We're going to do it live. We're doing it live.
Would I do that?
We've done it before. Why not?
I released it. I always forget. I got to log in here and then go over here to issue. Click on this and then click on this.
So while John's doing that, we have a monster of a feature article this month called Building Secure REST APIs for... Healthcare application. There we go. Look at that. You just witnessed it live. Healthcare applications with PHP and Laravel. And this sucker is several. This has got to be the longest feature article we've ever run that we didn't break up. Why didn't we break this up in two releases? We've done that in the past.
Good question. Probably because we didn't know, we didn't realize how long it was until we started laying it out. It's mostly because of the code samples. They were just huge.
Lots of code samples. Yeah. So, yeah, it's about 21-ish, 22-ish pages long. Great article. So you definitely want to give this a read, but it will not be the free article for this month. John hates it when I say that because that's extra work for John. So I gotta stop saying that. Every now and then I force him to release a free column, and
I think it used to be a very regular practice that Oscar did, and because it's extra work, and I just don't do it.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Need to automate this. Need to automate it.
It is automated.
But
that's the problem.
Oh, it's all, you just choose not to flip that switch. Really?
It's more about choosing the article that I don't do.
Oh,
choosing it and then doing the handful of steps it takes to make it live.
Yeah. What is this? So I get the preview of the magazine obviously as the articles come in and I read the articles, but I don't always get the advertisement. So the RCVEs, I guess we've been running for since tech. I just noticed it this month, but this is the first time I've noticed Edward Bernard's new. Oh, wait a minute. Is that an ad or is that? Yeah, that's an ad.
Yeah, it's an ad.
Wizard's Lens ad. That looks slick.
Yeah. It's his book.
Is that the first time we've run this?
Mm-mm. No.
No? Okay, I gotta read my own magazine every now and then. Edward Bernard has a book out. That kind of funky.
What?
But nothing. We won't worry about that. So yeah, I'm really thrown off by my system not being what it normally is. There are things I want to share, and it's bothering me. John, how was your week? What did you do? Did you do anything productive?
If you consider this thing productive, my eyeball is all messed up.
I told you, stop fucking being so harsh on my pull commits, my pull request, and I won't hit you.
I got into a fight with a leaf blower and it won. No, it was fun because I kept blaming my weekend drinking on my buddies. I'm like, Rick took me golfing and made me drink, and not true, but I got home and was doing yard work and I started using the leaf blower incorrectly and decided my wife wanted me to use it on top of the pergola to blow all the leaves off of the top up there. And I was doing a good job, but I couldn't get to the center. But I realized if I put the leaf blower up top and gave it a little push, it would blow a bunch of stuff back, but then the leaf blower would come back into my hand. And then I did it again. And I like the fourth time, it didn't make it into my hand.
John was feeling like a superhero. Like it was like some superpower he had. It was a boomerang or something. He just throw the leaf blower up and catch it.
I was like, oh, this is cool. It's working. And then it worked until it didn't work. Took it right to the eyebrow, luckily. So it didn't really hit my eye. Just I'm on so many medications that I bruise super easily. So as soon as it starts, it just like goes. My leg is going to be in pain tomorrow because I played racquetball today.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, played a couple games. We were leaving. And then my friend's like, there's a young, like 35-year-old guy who was obviously very good. He goes, you want to see if he wants to play cutthroat, which is just 3-player racquetball?
I love cutthroat.
So I'm like, I mean, we could challenge him to 1v2. He would still kick our ass. Like he was obviously much better than we were. And I kind of let it go. I didn't really say yes. And a couple minutes later, he said it again. I'm like, looked at my watch. I'm like, okay, we could try. And played, and we made a little side bet. He's like, he goes, whoever scores the most points gets a beer. I'm like, okay. Meanwhile, my friend is way better than I am, but I get a beer out of it. So, and I somehow scored some points. Then we finish that game. I'm walking out, and this old guy who's in like his 80s walks up and he's like, hey, do you guys want to play doubles? And I'm like, look at my watch again. I'm like, really got to get back to work. All right, let's play. So we played doubles, and I got in the younger guy's way of a shot, and he just hit the ball so hard right in the back of my leg. Oh my gosh, I'm going to be sore tomorrow.
I miss playing racquetball. I miss hitting you with the racquetball.
Yeah, you were always pretty good at that.
You could not hide from me.
No matter how
standing at the urinal once, and I got him. He's like, "What the hell?"
Also, that I've been just plugging away at work, opening pull requests, getting stuff done. Nothing fancy. Just trying to help, you know, our client as much as I can, considering probably 80% of the pull requests are open by non-developers who are using Claude to write code. So then having the fun of going through that. I think I talked about that last week. Like how much... I
think so, yeah.
I actually asked that guy, like told him on Friday, I'm like, I talked about you on the show yesterday and I don't know what that balance is of should I just commit like my code suggestions that I'm given? Or, and he's like, actually, I do learn from it because I take it and I tell Claude about it so that Claude doesn't do it again. I'm like, okay, I'll keep doing that then.
That works. Yeah. What did you think of our meeting? So we have, you guys have probably heard, if you've listened to the show long enough, there has been a project with one of our clients that I was just really infatuated with and wanted to finish. And they ended up pulling the plug on it. In doing a review recently because the murmuring started going around that they might be interested in doing it again. So I was like getting all my notes on, you know, what we had previously done. And like, I realized like that entire team doesn't work with us anymore. Like one person still works with us and they were working on this external piece of the project. Like they weren't even in the core code base. So I was like, every time I look at the lineup we had working on this, I'm like, damn, like nobody. So that means like we have no institutional knowledge of what that application was doing, with the exception of me. And so I was kind of like refreshing myself on everything. And I sucked Claude on it for about a week and a half because it was originally written in Laravel 7, which was the latest and greatest at the time. And slowly walked the thing through to Laravel 13. The biggest issue was how we were doing our event sourcing. One of the libraries we were using, the main library we were using for that, is no longer maintained. And that was again, when event sourcing was like really just kind of getting on the scene, you know, again, as far as being like something people should think about doing. And John and I worked on that a lot, as far as like we coded it, you know, a lot of it by just, you know, fresh, right? Mm-hmm. So I tasked Claude, and keep in mind, I didn't think Claude was going to be able to pull all this off, but I tasked Claude with migrating that to Laravel Verbs. And I'm still like up in the air on whether or not I like Verbs. I like it as somebody not really into event sourcing because it seems super easy to use. Mm-hmm. But the more I understand event sourcing, the more like I started getting a little frustrated with how Verbs was implemented in the different terminology it uses. But I'm okay with it. Like, it's not like we have event sourcing on all of our applications. And so, and it's not like the client has high expectation of what it's going to do. So the fact that it, you know, it converted it to Verbs, I was okay with. So that worked. The event sourcing works. We really need to hash that out to make sure it's doing everything we expect it to do.
I'm surprised you don't like it because I was the other way where I didn't like it at the beginning, but then the more I used it, the more I was like, yeah, this actually works pretty well.
I think the main thing I don't care for is you really sold me on projections. And Verbs still kind of leverages the models more than you and I were doing when we hand-coded it.
Yeah, but I mean, you still have projections. You can still project to various tables and reporting tables and whatnot. So it's not.
Yeah, this is true. Bad. This is true. But the way we were using it before is we had totally eliminated essentially models from the architecture, and everything was a projection.
How were you accessing that data through just a repository, not using a model?
Yes. God, I don't remember now. Now that you say it out loud. Yeah.
Because you would still have a model for the data that you project. You just want to make sure it's read-only, that you're not actually updating. I mean, actually, no, I take that back. Your projection would still use the model to create and update the projection.
I don't think that's what you and I were doing, though.
I don't remember. Because,
Well, obviously with verbs, it is like that. Mm. And I want to be okay with it. My only concern with it, and it's a bridge we'll cross when the project actually starts, is how we're going to police all CRUD root actions, all CRUD actions going through verbs. Because that's essentially what I want, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want any CRUD update, create, update, delete, edit. I don't want any of that to happen outside of event sourcing. And I felt
on the projections.
Right. I feel like we had a better handle on that with the way we had implemented it. Because the way we had implemented it before is nobody knew how to interact with the data except going through the event sourcing, right? That's the only way they knew to interact with it. Now, a Laravel developer can easily walk on and say, oh, hey, we have a venues table. I'll just use the venues model. You know, it's very tempting to do it. And I don't know. Although I think Claude and I fixed that. So Claude and I had a conversation after our meeting. First thing, how do you feel the meeting went?
All in all, I think it went great. You did a good job running that meeting. I felt bad because I felt like I was stepping on your toes, especially near the end. But all in all, I think it went well. Considering who was in the meeting, we had our client's CEO and CFO on the call.
Yeah.
And listening to them tell each other how things work, it's like, we're right here. I think maybe they were doing it to make sure they had an understanding of it as well. Yeah. So that wasn't so bad. But we got caught up in the weeds a lot on the naming because we're talking about event sourcing with an events application.
Yeah.
So that's why I kept trying to change them. Like, let's just call them actions. They don't have to be events in event sourcing. And for some reason, that didn't catch on like I thought it would. They kept trying to go back to event sourced events. And I'm like, ugh.
Yeah. So side track. Ironically, if you're ever trying to sell event sourcing, which, again, I'm a big fan of, and I'm very guilty of not implementing more regularly, but I do like event sourcing. If you're a fan of event sourcing and you're trying to sell your company on event sourcing, pull in an accountant, because accountants have been doing event sourcing since the dawn of accounting. And the CFO that John's referenced, he was the one that understood event sourcing because it made accounting sense to him, because that's how accounting books are done. Like accounting ledgers, you log the data, and the data can't ever change without an explanation, and it can never be reversed. So like if your company paid
without an explanation.
Right, without an explanation. So if your company paid somebody $100 and it should have only paid them $50 and you need to put $50 back on the books, that $50 has an entry in the ledger and explains why it's there. Mm-hmm. And so accountants really, or at least our accountant, or the company's accountant, understood event sourcing and made complete sense to them. Once we started explaining it in the sense of, we need to understand how data got in the database and why it's in the state it's in. And yeah, you go, oh yeah, yeah. No, of course you do. Like, how else would you do it? You know? Mm-hmm. So it was really interesting.
But 99% of the applications out there are not like that.
Right.
That was always my, I hated going to the database and seeing some piece of data and not knowing why the value was what it was when I had the user saying, no, it shouldn't be that. And I'm like, but it is. And I can't tell them why it's like that. That was always a very frustrating point.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's something you don't think about until you need to explain it. Right. Mm. Until you say, oh, you know, why is this data say it's 1,000 users and only, you know, we only have 600 that signed up. It's like, shit, I don't know. You know, yeah, there's no way of telling. But interesting side quest there if you're ever in a position. But I was talking to Claude, and I have done this before, and I totally forgot about it. I can't even think of what it's called now. But in Laravel, so this is a Laravel app. Like I said, we got it up to Laravel 13. You can hook into the CRUD functions in Eloquent and basically say, whenever an update happens, whenever this happens, update, create, delete, or edit happens, do this. And I've done this before. And in talking to Claude, Claude's like, well, why don't we insert verbs there? So whenever a CRUD function is called on a model, we will push it through verbs. I'm like, God damn it, Claude, you are a genius. Thank you for that. And so we were doing it though. You don't like that?
I'm not following that. I don't really like that.
Why don't you like that?
Because you're changing the paradigm of saying, instead of an event causing the change, it's I changed it creating an event.
Well, no, it does. Okay, before we get any further, what are we doing about RCVEs? Are we don't have a read for this?
We do not really have a read for this, but we do want to thank RCVEs. If you're looking for a way to track your security posture on any of your GitHub repos and your servers, rcves.com has you covered. Go there. They have a open source plan, so a free plan for up to 10 servers and I think all of your GitHub repos, public and private. And outside of that, I think it's $83 a month to monitor, yeah, up to 50 servers. But it's white glove service. They'll have a human being involved. They'll walk you through everything, work with you to make sure you're covered. So head over to ourcves.com, ourcves.com, and sign up today.
Yeah.
Tell them Eric and I sent you.
Yeah. Let them know that. It would help us out. $83 a month if you go annually, $100 a month if you don't go month by month, just as a point of clarification. And we want to thank all our friends over there, Ed, Lynn, Sarah, Justin, Darius, Peter, for your support. Thank you very much.
Chris, our, O-U-R, not R.
Our.
The letter R.
Yeah. We're talking about the hooks in Eloquent. So nothing happens with the model or the database. It can't. So you can do the whole before after thing, right? Before or after, you know, the CRUD stuff, and we put it before. So nothing happens to the model or the database until after verbs returns that it's logged the information. The only thing I wasn't sure of is, so the one thing I'm very kind of insistent of is understanding who made changes. So I always want to log the authorized user who's making changes, because if you have a security question, that typically is it. Like, who made the change and was it actually them, right?
Right.
And Claude's like, yeah, that's not a problem. You know, we can definitely pass that, because that's not always part of the updating of a model. Like, if your model is a venue, that just happens to be one of the models that I like to use. If you're updating the venue's address, you don't typically need to know. You just need to know if the user's authenticated to make that update, but you don't typically log it anywhere. And that's what verbs, or that's what event sourcing does. And I wanted to make sure that we captured that. And Claude's like, yeah, we'll capture it. That's not a problem. So
I guess I need to understand more of what you're talking about with getting into the hooks, the eloquent hooks of the model.
Yeah.
Is the model with the model, are you talking about the projection model or the verbs model?
The data model. So again, in the situation of a venue, like you're creating a venue, right? A venue is a table in the database that has the data.
That's a projection.
No. See, this is where we're going to have an argument, right? This is why I didn't like, this is one of my hesitations with using verbs, right? The view is a model in Laravel, right? That's right. Just the way it is.
Right. And so that's a projection from the verbs table.
Are you saying when that it's actually verbs that updates that table?
It should be. It should be a projection. Your verbs is doing you're firing an event, and then based on that event, when you create a venue as an event, then it inserts into the projection, which would be the venue table.
So this is my frustration, right? Because the architecture of Laravel is what we start talking about when we talked about verbs, right? So you keep saying it's a projection. Yes, in the most technical term, it's a projection. It's always a projection, whether you have event sourcing doing it or not. You are storing the data in a venue's table. But wait. If you recall, my argument about not using models before, which you talked me off the ledge on, was that if everything's projection, then that data can live in multiple tables. Mm-hmm. And when that data gets updated, how do you update all the other tables? And we talked through it. It's like, yeah, it would be part of the projection. The projection would have to go out and update, you know, everywhere that data is stored. Mm-hmm. That's not what's happening here, right? I mean, you can call it a projection, but it's only projecting to the one table, which is the model, which is what the model's built off of.
Okay.
I guess
I'm confused.
you might be able to project to multiple tables, but I don't know, man. This is my hesitation with using verbs. I like verbs. It's simple, out of the box. If you haven't done event sourcing before, it's the easiest way to get into event sourcing. But when you get down into the nitty gritty of event sourcing and what it's meant to accomplish, and especially when you start talking about projections, that's where things start to break down. You'll confuse Laravel developers because it doesn't make sense. And then, you know, non-Laravel developers get confused because what you're saying in Laravel terms doesn't make sense. And it's just a frustrating thing altogether.
We'll have to look at it some more tomorrow.
Yeah, end of day, we're using verbs and I'm happy with it. Like I said, I'm fine with it. I'm fine even calling it event sourcing. We just need to make sure it's able to do everything our clients are expecting it to do. I think you had a good example in the meeting of creating a projection for accounting. So we just need to make sure we're able to accomplish all that.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's take a look at it tomorrow. Holly's saying it sounds like we're missing the root in verbs. Their root is called the state.
Yeah.
And there is I guess in your example, the state there would be the venue, but you can have multiple states all running together at the same time.
Right. And this goes back to what I was saying earlier, Holly. I know you don't think I know what I'm talking about half the time, but this is what I'm saying. Like verbs cause event sourcing has a term in your example, root. Verbs call it something else. There's no real reason for them to call it something else other than I think it's easier to digest in a Laravel world. And honestly, I I kind of lean more towards the idea of a state rather than route as well. But irregardless, doesn't matter. There's an industry standard in event sourcing called a route. Verbs calls it a state. Have at it. This is my issue. It's these very nuanced conversations of terms that break down. Speaking of Laravel, I saw native PHP pop in here. This is what reminded me. Shane pinged me right before the show. Laracon is happening in a couple of weeks. God damn it! I wish I was sharing my screen.
Is it just a couple weeks? I don't know. I'm not going. I wasn't invited.
Well, you weren't invited. 28th through the 29th of July. So it's this month. Last week, I'm like, God damn it! I gotta book travel. I gotta get a hotel. Like, I haven't done any of that stuff yet. Totally forgotten about it. So that's happening. If you're going, cool. If you see me, say hi. I'll grab some stickers or something. Make sure you say hi. But Native PHP Mobile is holding a kind of mini one-day track of Laracon after Laracon. So Laracon's the 28th, 29th, and then Native PHP is the 30th. So they're just holding a one-day track mini conference of Native PHP Mobile. Actually, if you guys are still in the Discord, let me know if it's specific to mobile. I believe it is. But I don't think I'm staying for that because I needed to get home and I couldn't find a flight that would work if I had stayed. So I ended up not staying. I'm sorry to tell you that, Shane. But
I'm going to tell you on the podcast so you'll never see it.
Actually, Shane just texted me in Discord, so I think he is there. If I can shuffle things around, I will. So it's a side event. Yeah, the vibes with Native PHP on day three. It's not a free conference. It's an additional $129. It looks like, but if it's a very exciting, I keep saying this with Native PHP Mobile, it's a very exciting time to get involved. So the first time I said it, I meant it. It was early when Native PHP Mobile was figuring things out, and getting on board was very a good thing. Now it's like the second wave where they're pushing more and more stuff native. I'm giving them a little bit of a commercial here because I've been, you know, hyping this up for so long. I get excited about it and I haven't really built anything with it myself, and it's frustrating. I've done demos. I even did a local user group talk on Native PHP Mobile where I built a mobile app. But I mean, again, it wasn't like a real world app, which frustrates me. But so now they're pushing more and more stuff native on the device, which is just that's like the what everybody wants to do, right? The closer to native you get, the faster your app is, right? There's less translation layers in between. This, I'm telling you right now, if you've ever wanted to do mobile development and you're a PHP developer and you felt like that barrier to get into mobile development was just too steep, do it. Do it today. Like, seriously. I mean, it doesn't cost anything anymore. You know, licenses, you don't have to pay for a license anymore. You need to give this project a look. There you go. Simon's responding. Looking forward to seeing you guys at Laracon. Yeah, you won't be seeing John because he's a dick, but I'll be there. Give it a look. Look at all the exciting stuff they're doing with native stuff on both platforms, Android and iOS. You're not getting pinned down to one platform or the other. And exciting stuff. So definitely give it a look. And everybody needs to start a pressure campaign on the code LordX, Holly, who the elephant is named after, to convert our PHP Tech conference app to Native PHP Mobile.
She's doing one for Longhorn too, it looks like. because she has more than 3 weeks notice before their conference.
Hold on. We're going to take a moment and have a conversation about the fact that you're cheating on us with another conference. Whore! Can I say that? Is that acceptable
to
say
whore? No. That's inappropriate.
That, you think that's a little too far?
I think that's a little too far.
Slut?
You know, line. He went way over
slut? It. Slut? Is that still too far?
Yes.
Tramp? Which word can I use, John?
I don't know.
Which word?
I know you guys have a closer relationship, so I'll let you two figure it out. I cannot set the line anymore. For you two.
We don't have it anymore.
From the outside, it seems like line.
Yes, way Tusk, over it. I am a mean person. That's been well established. All right.
Yes. It has.
Man, I have been on a tangent lately, and we're running out of time, and we haven't yet to talk about anything I have in Trello, and I made an effort to put stuff on here.
I was going to talk about that Surfaces RFC until we found out that she was cheating on us, so I guess we won't talk about that.
No, we're not going to talk about Surfaces anymore, because whatever. What is Surfaces? Is that Holly?
It is. That's Holly's, yeah.
It's not. Is this their generics?
Yeah. No, not generics. Not generics. It's the changing of visibilities. We really just have to have Holly on to discuss it more. But
if Holly had a podcast, maybe Holly could talk about it. But since Holly is, maybe Holly will talk about it at Longhorn, because I'm sure they're welcome to talk there.
Yeah.
What is this?
So it's definitely worth a look-see. I think Holly wants to know if she should move forward with it, making it an actual RFC for PHP, because it came about when we were talking about the friends RFC.
I still don't understand that one. Yeah,
it's just a way of saying that another class is allowed to change my properties.
But we already have that.
But we don't. You have private, which only I can change it. Protected, I and anybody that extends my class can change it, right? And then you have public, which anybody can change it.
But you could always work around that with extending the class.
Right, but sometimes you don't want to extend it. So the example in the RFC is a builder. You have a separate class that will build an object for you. That object probably wants all of their properties set to private, but you want the builder to be able to set the variables without having to have a bunch of setters. And if you have a bunch of setters, that means it's kind of public. Anybody can set it. So now you're going to say, I want all of my stuff to be private, except for this class I know is meant to build an object for somebody. So that's where the friends come in. Holly is taking it further with their RFC Surfaces. I haven't read through it enough to understand it. So we have to have Holly on to talk about it.
We will not be doing that.
It's all about the roles versus just classes, it looks like.
Is it kind of like a root in a state? Is it something like that? I don't know.
Oh, now you're taking it. Just kidding.
Hey, yeah. While you're on there, pull up this other one I have to discuss. Our very own Chris Miller has submitted a PR to PHP Core to fix something in the JIT compiler. Well, not the compiler, but I guess the JIT workflow. Not super game changing, and very few people are going to care that much about it, but it was interesting how he came across it. He was working on something and he realized, he goes, hey, wait a minute, I'm getting a different response when I go through the JIT as opposed to not going through the JIT. And if you don't know, I don't think the JIT just-in-time compiler for PHP gets enough press anymore, because it kind of hit right when PHP was like turning a corner on performance, and just out of the box performance was already getting really strong, which is what the JIT compiler was kind of meant to address. But it is still a thing out there, and my understanding of it, and you don't need to quote me on this, but like I heard that maybe, you know, it's one of the least understood aspects of PHP internals because very few developers actually worked on it who understood it, and some of them have since left PHP internals. Anyways, Chris, this is the thing. We always take this for granted. We forget that we work in a world of open source software. And Chris was doing something and noticed he was getting a different response, depending on whether or not he went through the JIT compiler and said, that's odd. I wonder why that's happening. And just started diving into the C code and saying, okay, why does this do this? And realize, hey, this is a bug. Like, it shouldn't be doing this. Figured it out, submitted a PR to fix it. Now, this is where things get interesting, right? Because somebody from internals might come back and say, no, that's an expected behavior. It's not a bug. We're not going to fix it, sort of thing, right? I don't think this is necessarily a security concern, so it's like nothing needs to be addressed immediately. But yeah. I just love these stories of just, hey, I found something wrong with the core of PHP. They were very fortunate. Chris first opened up an issue. Chris is a very talented developer, but not all of us are. And, he decided, hey, let me see if I can fix this, and looked into it and said, oh yeah, I can fix this, and created a fix for it.
Yep. And it says there's already one for the Bitwise OR and an XOR. So it's just adding the Bitwise NOT operator as well.
Right.
Well, funny thing, there's something wrong with the JIT in 8.5 in tracing mode, and I still don't fully understand what's happening, but I upgraded the application I work on to 8.5 a few weeks ago before I went on my road trip, and all of a sudden, I guess there's issues, but only in our workers, not on the general application.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody pointed out that something with the JIT, and supposedly upgrading, I think, to 8.5.7 is supposed to fix it, but it wasn't officially available at the time, so I'm not sure where we're at, or if it's still just throwing errors and we're just not fixing it. I'm not exactly sure, but yeah. Something to be aware of. There's some known issue there.
Yeah. Cool. I love the fact that this is something that can happen. I love the fact that it's somebody on our team that is doing it. I give Chris all the credit in the world. Like I said, he's a super, super talented developer. More power to you. Hope to see this get merged in. It'll be a nice little, it's like your kid doing well in school sort of thing. You know, it's like you had nothing to do with it, but, you feel like it's still a feather in your cap sort of thing.
I clicked on that, and that did not take me where I thought it was going to take me. Speaking of people on our team that are smart and doing awesome things that we're not doing, Joe Ferguson has released PHP 8.6.0 Alpha 1 today.
Hey, Joe, good job, buddy. Yes, Joe is the official release manager of PHP 8.6. Well, him and another person. And I think Ramsey is the mentor. Or no, I don't think they have the mentor. I don't know what they changed it up a little bit where they don't necessarily have.
No, mentor, Daniel Scherzer is the
mentor.
Yeah, they, like you said, they changed the name.
Yeah, it's not like a mentor anymore, but yeah. It's the senior release manager, Daniel. Yeah.
Yup, yup.
So yeah, good job, Joe. Exciting stuff.
You want to talk about PHP Tech IO real quick? PHP Tech coming back in 2027. The only thing I want to point out is we don't have it on the site. I got to figure out what I want to do there.
Oh, are we going to talk about what we talked about?
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh.
If this is what you're talking about.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Decided we're going to try something this year. You don't have to. You can buy your ticket and your hotel stay separately, but we're making a little package, and you might save a little bit of money doing it that way. Two different options. The full 3-day conference and 3 hotel nights, which would probably be Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night. But that's we'll figure that out later. And then the hotel conference and the four nights, if you want to say Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night and leave Friday. So,
and I always feel like I need to say this. This is nothing shady. Like, we're not getting any kickback on this. It's just, it was just John and I. John actually brought it up. He's like, we really need to try to make the conference cheaper. How can we do that? And we're like, okay, well, you know, let's do it this way. And this is what we came up with. So yeah, it's, there's nothing, we don't care how you do it. We're not getting right. any more money. Matter of fact, we're getting less money.
We will end up getting less doing it this way.
Yeah. We get less money doing it this way. But you know, we cover like the food and stuff, which is what is always our biggest concern. So
the biggest thing with doing it this way is I will immediately book a room. So if you were to buy your ticket and then forget to book your room, there's a chance that they would sell out or not have them. This way it'd be like, as soon as it's paid for, I book it and then we're good.
And I also think if you have to ask for the money from a manager or somebody, a CFO or something like that, I think it's nicer to go with a big, like the one number of, hey, this is the pass to the conference, my lunches, my breakfasts, and my stay. You know, that, because that's basically what you get with that. You get the breakfast coupons. We serve you lunch at the conference. Then, of course, obviously, this is your stay and your conference pass. So it's like one price, and you can kind of really kind of upsell it on how after this, all you have to pay for is travel. That's the only other.
And your dinners. Difference. You'll have your dinner.
Yeah.
And just to clarify on the breakfast, the first person in the room, it's free. The second person, it's like half price, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So if you share a room with a coworker or you bring your family, that's something you need to keep in mind.
Yeah. But that's all I wanted to point out. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it. It's just.
This other thing I have in Trello, if you want to click on that, is something that came up. I forget where it came up. I did join.
There's two. I don't know which one you're talking about.
The top one. Yeah. Top. Okay. The CFPs. Somebody had brought up the fact that there's actually a website out there where you can see all the places. If you're one of these people who you are a speaker or you want to be a speaker, you can go here and see everywhere that's looking for papers. This is not specific to the PHP community, so keep that in mind when you're looking for who you're submitting to. I thought I saw Longhorn on here when I opened this.
I wanted to talk about that, but I think their CFP just ended.
Oh, did it just end? Oh, it might have.
That's why I was shocked when he was asking us this week, and then I was going to talk about it on the show, and oh well.
I mean, I guess it would be easy enough to find here, but so yeah, if you're a speaker, we definitely like to get the PHP community out there talking at conferences, even if it's not a PHP specific conference. This is where you can come. This is not it's not geographically locked to the US. It's not platform locked to PHP. Just all the good stuff out there. Conference call for papers, CFP. Let me see what is going on here. Are you going to Longhorn, John?
Haven't talked about it yet. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think I.
I'm not saying yes or no at this point. Wait,
okay, so
we haven't talked about it.
Everybody knows. CFPs are open until the 10th for Longhorn. So go to cfp.longhornphp.com. And the call for papers will open up for another week in the day if you want to speak at Longhorn. It's at a different venue this year, isn't it?
No, it's at the Holiday Inn.
Oh, it's still the Holiday Inn? Okay. Yeah. In Austin. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, all right, cool. So yeah, check that out. I'll throw this in the show notes as well for this week. All right. Sorry, I'm clicking around a little bit more than usual. Like I said, I'm not using my normal site. So, all right. The one thing I did want to talk about, I know we're running a little long. The PHP Foundation has started up a lot of I don't want to say commissions, but like groups you could be a part of. I joined the ambassador program this week, which had its first meeting. Dude, guess how many people were there? First thing, shout out to PHP Architect. Three people from PHP Architect were there. Guess how many people showed up for this ambassador program?
I'm going to guess 122.5.
You are an asshole. Where's that written at?
I really don't know.
Oh, no, that's about right. That's almost, yeah. I mean, there were over 100 people there. Like the last I saw on the Hangout, I think the Hangout had like 114 people in the Hangout. And yeah, Elizabeth was like, she was chairing it and was very concerned that nobody was going to show up, which I'm like, yeah, no, people are going to show up. But, you know, I don't know how many people are going to show up. And boy, were there a lot of people. I mean, there were a ton of people there. And it went really well. I mean, it was the first kind of meeting. There was one slide. And like we talked about the one slide the whole meeting, which is the ambassador program is just basically, hey, how can we get the word out to new developers? How can we make PHP look more approachable? And it's just the PHP Foundation organizing that communication with the larger community and trying to kind of trying to like actually think of solutions to implement. I said, and I shared this with Elizabeth later, is like, I feel like this is something we've been trying to do for years and we just can't, you know, it's not easy. But
why did you not tell me about this, bastard?
How did you not know about this, bastard?
Because people are not talking about PHP, obviously.
yeah, so if you've been a PHP developer for any amount of time, you know, it's easy to get mocked, but it's very hard to get people interested in PHP. No matter what you say, no matter how much you tell them, this is not your dad's PHP. It's a very different platform now. It's faster. It's better. It's, you know, whatever. Yeah. And the ambassador program is just kind of trying to put together something to help that. And that's not the only thing I think is going to do, but I think it's the main function. And that's not the only program they have out there. They have different programs you can be a part of. I'll see if I can find a link to them where you can sign up for them at. It's just a matter of getting on a mailing list sort of thing. So that was my thing. It's like, I didn't tell Elizabeth. Elizabeth, if you're listening, don't make this just a mailing list thing, because those just get out of control. That was actually one of the topics that came up, is how should we coordinate communication? And I'm just thinking in the back of my head, don't be a mailing list. Don't be a mailing list. Don't be a mailing list. And I don't know what's going to, nothing was decided, but that's the biggest thing. Like, I think it needs to be, even if it's like a Discord channel or something, you know, would be a better idea. But yeah, we'll see what comes of it. But there's quite a few different things, and you just go to Google Docs and sign up and say, hey, I'm interested. And you don't have to talk. It's not like they go around the table and say, hey, everybody introduce yourself. It's just, you know, you're invited to these meetings, and if you have something to contribute, you can contribute. But I think this is a great, everybody always says, how can I help make PHP better? How can I contribute to PHP? This is that, right? This is your opportunity to do that. You don't have to understand C code. You don't even have to be a good PHP developer. You know, Joe was on there. So, yeah, that just, I have to think of a name. And I already said Chris was a good developer. So so Joe came, got in my target. Oh, I guess I could have said Ramsey. Ramsey was on there. Yeah. I'm always giving Ramsey.
You get hit by strays, Joe. Sorry.
So yeah, check it out. I think they have one for security. They have, I signed up for a couple. I forget which ones I signed up for. But yeah, I'll see if I can get a list and where it goes to sign up for them. Besides that, so we had a live and kicking this week, which was pretty good. And they had somebody on there. I only bring this up for you, John, because you're the one that handles the money. We're always like trying to figure out how to get the word out there for now. This is a business thing, right? This is not for the greater good of PHP. This is either we're trying to get the word out there for PHP Tech or for the magazine. Not that we make money off the magazine, but we want more people subscribe to the magazine.
We would like partner. To make money off the magazine eventually.
We would like to make money off the magazine. Yeah. Well, and technically we could, right? If we got a subscription up high enough and we went to, you know, added that to the partners program, and, you know, of course, that's what pulls people in. But there's this program out there that got referenced in Alive and Kicking called Ethical Ads that we should look into. Again, this is not something we use. I was very intrigued by the conversation that was on Alive and Kicking around this. And I'm like, wow, ethical ads. I don't think I've ever heard of this before.
Yes, I saw it come up some. I think it was in Discord. I saw them link to it. So I went and looked a little bit.
So, yeah, we should look into this. It was all about, it says right here, advertising for developers. Because end of day, that's who we all are. That's why John and I aren't good at it, because we're developers. We're not marketing people. You know, what we do seems to make sense, and we don't understand why everybody doesn't do it. So, this was very, very, I forget the person who mentioned it. If Chris, if you're still in our Discord, or just go to a Live and Kicking show this week.
I know Tessa was on.
Tessa. Tessa. Yes. Cool. That's right. It was Tessa. Yeah, now that you mention it. She was the one that mentioned it. She mentioned a couple. TLDR, I think, was the other one she mentioned. But Ethical Ads was the one that, like, you know, because, you know, I'm a big ethics person. I think, you know, ethics in our industry is critical. And I think something we don't talk about enough, especially now that AI is a thing, right? It's even more important today. But, you know, I've been beating this drum for years, John, about ethics in our, you know, in development. And so ethical ads, we need to check it out and see if it's something that we can leverage. And thanks, Tessa, for doing that.
Cool. I'll check it out.
All right. Anything else? Look at you. What are you doing?
I don't know.
We're working on some exciting stuff here at PHP Architect, just behind the scenes, beyond the annual conference and the monthly releases of the magazine. Laravelmagazine.com is got a nice little pace going. Real happy with that. Still doing some work on what it is, but it's a simple blog, so check that out. But we're working on some other things behind the scenes. I had some conversations today that I'm getting excited about. Hopefully bringing some more voices to PHP Architect in the near future. We'll see how that turns out. But yeah, stay cool. Tuned. Keep listening. You will know before anybody if you watch us live.
You probably know before I know, if we're being honest.
Yeah. And you know I can't keep a secret, you know, and I hate teasers.
You hate teasers that you do all the time?
I do. Well, I only do it like this. Nobody asks you anything like this because things just stop. I'm telling you, man, Apple is driving me crazy. I want to bring up one more thing before we go. Yes, this is technically a teaser, but it's only a teaser in the sense that things aren't finalized. Like, we're working stuff out, and I don't want to say stuff before people have been able to commit to things and before we actually have something set up. So just letting people know we're working on stuff. Got a question for you, John, and I know we're running late, and I know this is a touchy subject and ethics, and it was a pet peeve of mine with the ambassador program itself. So in the meeting in the ambassador program, which was anybody could join, right? There was no password to get into the meeting or anything like that. Anybody could join. So it's an open group, right? Mm-hmm. People were complaining that AI note takers were in there. And I use it. I use it all the time. As somebody like myself, I am so busy and I'm in so many meetings AI note takers is definitely one of those things that has changed that landscape for me. I feel like I get a lot more out of meetings. I can reference back to meetings. I get summaries of meetings. Every week on Monday morning, I get an email from the service I use of all my meetings from the previous week and where things were. I like them, right? But people are like, oh, we have to kick the AI note takers out. I'm not going to speak up. I don't want it to record my voice. Dude, first thing, I don't think you have to worry about it. First off, to be completely honest, I'm not saying that AI isn't using voices, but like we're on YouTube every week. Like there's too many people like us to worry about if Gary from Indiana, who said all of, three words on a meeting, is going to get their voice captured by AI. But it's like people were like grumpy about it. And unfortunately, I think my agent was in there, but by that time, there were so many people in there and I couldn't figure out how to get it out. And I even logged into the account, the service, because I figured I could probably go in the service and just tell it to leave the meeting, but it didn't even register the meeting. So I guess because it was in the meeting, it didn't register the meeting. Only reason I knew it was there was because I got a summary afterwards. And I couldn't find it in the list to kick it. But it was frustrating to me because it's like, then don't be part of this group then, because, this is a meeting. Like, everybody's like, well, somebody should take notes. And this is why that doesn't work. It's like, the meeting's too big. There isn't a designated person to do meeting minutes or anything. And it's just lost. It's all lost in the ether afterwards. If somebody doesn't remember to record something, write something down without these agents in there, it's lost. Mm-hmm. So I have no hesitation doing it. It bugs me to think that, like, honestly, if they say that is a 100%, no agents are allowed in the meetings, I'll respect it. I just won't participate at that point because I don't have the bandwidth to focus on every word that's happening in the meeting and then trust that if I miss something, somebody's going to catch it on a note. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. And if it comes down to it's because they don't want their voice recorded, the chances are, even without the AI agents in there, whatever service, whether it's Zoom or whatever, they're recording it anyway. Like,
yeah. You think your cell phone company isn't recording you?
Right.
As a matter of fact, what's weird, was it my insurance or credit card? One of those two said, hey, we can now do voice verifications for you. You just have to opt in to say you want that. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Do I have to opt in? And then you are going to start recording my voice or opt in and like, oh yeah, we've been recording your voice. We know it's you sort of thing, But yeah, I agree with you. Like there's so many avenues out there to capture.
That sounds super scary because it's so easy to take somebody's voice and turn it into an AI voice. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know exactly how that works, but yeah.
Yeah.
This isn't a threat. I mean, I just don't understand it. And I'm not going to participate. And we have clients. So this is the exception to this. And I push back on this as well. We have a client that we're involved with where, a lot of security around interacting with them. So much to the fact that only certain developers are allowed to work on that aspect of the project, and those developers...
There's a government agency involved, right?
Right. There's government involved. Those developers have to have a background check. We have to submit our fingerprints. I mean, there's a whole thing. And we're doing a big migration with them, and they're like, hey, we need to boot all the agents. And again, they were talking to me specifically because it was my agent that joined. And I'm like, all right, well, boot it. That's fine. But it's frustrating because this is also one of those groups that, like, I'm not a fan of how they manage projects. And I'm not a fan of them saying I feel like they say something 1 week and then say something else the next week. And I'm like, this is why I need my agent in here. It's helped me with these sort of scenarios specifically.
So when you boot up QuickTime and just do a screen recording and let it record everything, then you still have it.
Right?
I was like, you're not stopping anything. If I want it, I'm going to get it.
And there's also ones that you can put on your phone now and you just, yeah, like you say, you start recording on your phone and it still records the entire meeting. I don't do that, but I'm getting close to doing it. I mean, I'll be honest with you. But yeah, you're absolutely right. It's like, if I still wanted to record that, I could record it. And they were supposed to record it because they said, we'll do a recording. And if you want that recording, we'll send it to you. Which in my head, I'm like, okay, what's it matter if you do it or I do it? Whatever, I don't care. And then they don't do it. They always forget to do it. Like, they never record, even though they said they would. So yeah, it's frustrating. So yeah, a little pet peeve of mine. I don't know where people are with it. It's a weird time to be alive right now because there's a whole AI aspect of it. But yeah, to your point, John, you know, AI can impersonate voices. AI can impersonate videos. I mean, people make entire videos now of just completely AI generated stuff. So yeah. Okay. That's it. I'm done ranting.
Gotcha.
You didn't say a whole lot today, John.
I did.
This is why people don't like a podcast. You don't talk enough.
I talk too much. That's the problem. And then when I say that's a wrap, you just keep going. It's like, all right, whatever I say doesn't matter anyway. Just kidding. Thank you again to rcves.com for sponsoring or being partners with us. The team over at Artisan Build is great. Thank you. Thank you for hanging out with us and listening. Until next week.
Bye.
This has been PHP Podcast, the official podcast of PHP Architect, the industry's leading tech magazine and publisher focused on PHP and web development. Subscribe today at phparch.com to see what the leaders in the community and industry are talking about.